Revelation 17, and actually I'm going to try to get way past. I'm going to try to go through 18 because Revelation 17, as you know, we started on it, and it continues through chapter 18. So I want to rehearse a little bit, and chapter 17 is where we see Babylon, the mother of the harlots. And we see that religious system. I talked about last week how it's a religious system. And it is a religious system that corrupts Christianity. And that's why he says that others have committed fornication with her. In other words, they've had a relationship with this religious system that they shouldn't have. And God's people, y'all, listen to me now. Listen, we need to be very careful about the people and their religion that we hang around with and we associate with. And you think it doesn't influence you, but they can. They can influence you. And that's what this mother of harlots has done. It's here in chapter 17 talking about pouring out that final seventh vial and punishing this religious system. And it's so bad that God has named it the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots. And we talked about that last week. And we talked about how this religious system sits on seven hills. And how all the kingdoms of the world come to this religious system during the tribulation period. And the only way you can buy or sell or even eat is to go through this religious system, because the Antichrist is the head of this religious system. And then we talked about how that religious system's already set up. It already controls whole nations. It already controls whole economies in those nations. And I told you last week, and I'm not ashamed to repeat it, South America is run by the Catholic Church. It's the most corrupt organization on planet Earth. Central America is run by the Catholic Church. You won't be in government office in any of those countries without the approval of the Catholic Church in that country and the bishops. You go to Europe, Italy's controlled by the Catholic Church. You won't hold office in that church and not be in good standing with the Catholic Church. And then you go all over Europe, and it's died out a lot, but the Catholic Church still controls and influences the governments in a lot of those European countries. And I want you to notice, you get farther east, and it's called the Eastern Orthodox Church, which all that is was a break off of the Catholic Church, because at one time they had two men that claimed to be Pope, and so they split it into the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. And both those popes went and they had their own church that way. But the Eastern Orthodox, there's not much difference in them. They let their priests marry. And they refuse to have statues or idols in their churches. Instead, they got big giant pictures everywhere, hand-painted pictures and stuff. But they have the same doctrines. They have the same doctrines. And the current pope has talked to the pope of the Eastern Orthodox Church recently, and they're talking about reuniting. So that will give the Catholic Church then the complete control over the far eastern countries, such as Serbia and Russia and all those countries where the Eastern Orthodox Church really influences and controls the politicians in those areas. Now, America was founded on the freedom of religion. Not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. And one of the first colonies in America was founded by a Baptist preacher. And that's where that term comes from, separation of church and state. And so our nation has not been that much influenced by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church had very little influence in America before John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic president we ever had. Before him, if you were Catholic, you never would have gotten to be president. Jesuit priests, those are the militant Catholics that go into countries and they set up churches. They start churches. The Jesuit priests were not allowed in the United States of America until after the war between the states. But now, as you see, you go to Congress, you go to House of Representatives, and they'll open in prayer, and most of the time their chaplain is now a Catholic priest. And that Catholic Church is eat up with Babylonian religion. The Babylonian religion forbid their priests from marrying. They weren't allowed to marry. They wore the vestments, the clothing that you see the Catholic priests wear. That comes from the Babylonian religion. None of that's in the Bible. There are no vestments in the Bible. There's no collars or religious clothing in the Bible. There's none of that. There's not a priesthood in the New Testament. And the priesthood of the Catholic Church, I know it's from the Babylonian church, I mean the Babylonian religion, because I've studied both, but they try to say we got it from the Old Testament. But you go read the Old Testament, that priesthood does nothing that the Catholic priesthood does. They don't even resemble each other. Two whole different kinds of priests. And so, but you stand up in public now and you say this kind of stuff and people will call you a bigot and burn your house down. Man, the Catholic Church has now a lot of influence in America. Got a lot of influence in politics. You know why? It's the richest church in the world. It's the richest church in the world. New Testament churches take up offerings and they stay in the church, and we send a little bit out here, a little bit out there, a little bit mission there, a little bit this, a little bit that. But the Catholic Church, all the money comes into it, goes to the main church, and they decide how much that local church gets. That's why you see the ones in the slums are falling in. It ain't because those people don't give. The poor people give more than rich people do. But all that money goes to the Vatican. They have their own bank. They have their own currency. They have their own government. They have their own police. They have their own military. They really do. They have their own ambassador to the United Nations. And up until President Bush, we didn't. Other nations have ambassadors, representatives of their countries, that deal with the Vatican every day. We never did up until George Bush. And George Bush made the first ambassador to the Vatican. And now we have one that deals with the Pope all the time in the Vatican and that big system. So get a picture of this big, gigantic monster of a religion that is a perversion of Christianity. And we talked about that last week. There's no such thing as what they call transubstantiation, where you take a goblet of wine, you hold it up and pray over it, and it becomes the blood of Jesus. It transforms into the blood of Jesus. That's not true. You take a wafer and you hold it up and you say a prayer over it, and it literally changes into the flesh of Jesus Christ. That's not true. But those are the same ceremonies that the Babylonian church did to the sun god. And then you look at their crosses back behind them on their altars. Now, I'm not talking about the one with Jesus on it, but every one of them has a big cross, and it's got a circle in the middle, and it looks like sun shining off of it. That's a Babylonian symbol. The Babylonians worship the sun. And so all that stuff is mixed up in the Catholic Church. And now, all over the world, and even in America now, people think that the Catholic Church is the ultimate Christian church. That it's the highest form of Christianity. They really do. You ask people on the street, you ask them what is the real church? What is the church that's real, that's handed down from Jesus Christ? And the average American now will say the Catholic Church. They think it goes Catholic, and then it goes Anglican, and it goes Lutheran, and Episcopalian, and Methodist, and Presbyterian, and then Baptist, and then all these Pentecostal things. That's what they think. And that we're ignorant. We don't know anything. So we don't belong to the Catholic Church. So here's this big, giant monster of a church, and he calls it a dragon. He calls her the great harlot. Because these other churches go to her to get what they want. And look, they're going to reunite. They're reuniting now. You ever heard this word, ecumenical? You know what ecumenical means? The uniting of all religions. That's ecumenical. Where there's not one right, there's not one wrong, they're all united. That's ecumenical. And by the way, I'll never go to an ecumenical meeting. I don't belong to the York County Pastors Association and all that kind of stuff. Because you go in there, you sit beside a Catholic priest and some a woman preacher and some guy that calls himself an apostle and everything else. I'm not doing that. That's unbiblical. But here we get a picture of it. There's three views of this warnings about this church, and then we'll go on. Look, chapter 17 again. Here's a divine view, and we've already seen this, but I want to rehearse it since there's not many people here, and we're ahead of time. Here's a divine view of that Babylonian religious church. Verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now remember that waters represents people, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've done business with her. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, what that church produces. Skip down to verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Now, didn't I tell you last week that the Catholic Church has killed more believers than anybody else? The Catholic Church has persecuted and killed more believers on Jesus Christ than anything else, because they say you can't go to heaven without them, and you can't go unless you go through them, and you've got to be baptized by them, and you've got to be married by them, and you've got to take sacraments by them, and you've got to be buried by them, or you have no hope of heaven. You see that? And if you say anything else, they persecute you. In those other countries, there's countries that you and I can't say a whole lot, because we would be persecuted, might be killed, because of our faith in the Word of God only. That's our final authority. And they don't believe that. So, and you preach that, you get killed. And that's what he's saying. This church, this religious organization has killed so many people. She's literally drunk with the blood of the martyrs and the blood of the saints of Jesus Christ. Now, before you get to that next view of it, I want you to notice verse 8. There's a Gentile world power mixed in here, because it's a powerful organization. Look at verse 8. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, I looked it up, and I can't remember the name of the other city, but I can't remember, but in geography there's two cities that sit on seven hills, and Rome is one of them. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other's not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short time. Now you see, he's describing some world powers here. He's not just describing the church, but they're dealing with the church. They're having business with that church. Verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I told you, when Martin Luther put those 99 theses on the wall, and he turned against the Catholic Church because he started reading the Bible and got saved, and he started preaching against indulgences and all that stuff, and the Pope called him over there to Rome, and he wouldn't go, he started reading the book of Revelation, and he started preaching that the Pope was the Antichrist. He did. He preached that the Pope, now he was right, the Pope was a Antichrist, but he's not. He wasn't the Antichrist. But the Pope threatened the king of Germany and said, if you don't make Martin Luther come over here, I'm going to send an army from whatever it is above them, the other nation, and I'm going to tell that king to send his army down there and to attack you and destroy your country and take it over. So the king begged Martin Luther to go, and he went to Rome. And it's written that when he walked in, he walked up to the Pope and he said, yes, sir, your hellishness. That's what he said. He's supposed to kiss his ring. He wouldn't kiss his ring anymore. And do you see what he's saying? This religious organization is going to rule the world. It's going to rule the world, see? And the Antichrist is going to be sitting on the throne of this religious organization, see? Now, look at chapter 18. Now, this is the last apostate part, warning God's people, okay? And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean bird. Do you see what he's saying? This religious organization done got so bad, it's full of devils and foul spirits. Anything that was holy in it's gone now. There's nothing left in it. I have met people that was Christians that I met one Catholic that I really believed it when he told me he was a Christian, because I took him through the scriptures and he said, yes, I've done that, yes, I've done that, yes, I've done that. And I asked him why he stayed in that church, and he said, he was 80 years old. He said, well, I grew up in that church and I just don't know what else to do. I probably will never leave it. He said, I know all that stuff they do is wrong, but that's where my grandma, you know, and all that. But it's going to come a time there's nothing in that organization that's right. Now, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You see here, they're doing business. They're doing business through this organization. All over the world, you can't do business without. Remember we read whenever they were giving out the mark of the beast, what did he say? No man could do what? Buy or sell without that mark. So now all the world's falling for this thing. They're all doing business with it. They're all taking the mark. They're doing business, making money, getting rich. And then verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, sometimes I'll preach and I'll say things. People say, well, you ought not say that about other people's religion. Well, he warns people right here. This ain't the only place. He also does it in 2 Corinthians. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he's telling people, it's right here at the end. Judgment is falling on this great whore of a religion. And he's saying now, if there's any of my people in that bunch, get out and get out now. And we could scream that just about every denominational church now. Just about every denominational seminary is gone bad. And so skip down to verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now, that's the view from heaven. That's the divine view. That's how God looks at this Babylonian supposedly religion. This is what God's saying about it. It's nasty and it's foul and it's full of demons, and he brings judgment on it. Now that's the view from heaven. That's how God looks at it. Now look at verse 9. You'll see a view from the human viewpoint. Okay, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. You see that? Now that's how humans are going to look at it. When judgment falls on that religious system there, and the Antichrist bunch and that Babylonian religious system, God's looking down from heaven. He said it's become foul and nasty and filthy and demonic influenced and full of demonic spirits, and I'm going to destroy it. And then when he destroys it, the whole world who has profited by doing business with this religious system mourns and cries because it's gone. Their money, the way they got it. You can't buy and sell without her. So now they're mourning over her. This is how people look at it. Look at verse 15. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment and weeping and wailing. In other words, these people that were making money off the Catholic Church and that Babylonian religion, when God brings judgment on it, they ain't going to try to help her. They're not going to try to help her. And look at verse 18. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Boy, I could imagine when Lot and his family came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, there were millions of people live there. It was a successful city. But it was run by filthy people, vile people, abominable people. And look, that thing had built up and grown, and it was rich. And I guarantee you, those people in there doing business thought, this thing ain't never going to fall. Boy, this is good. I don't care how they live. This is good. But then one day, God took his people out and destroyed it, burned it up all in one day, just burned it up. And I imagine all the cities around, there was another little city called Zoar, not far from there. And that's where Lot wanted to go, was Zoar, which was a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. I bet when they saw the smoke and the fire coming up out of Sodom and Gomorrah, I guarantee a bunch of them looked over there and said, man, I can't believe that place fell. That was a mighty place. And there's a lot of people look at the Catholic Church, and it's getting worse every day. Have you ever wondered why when some... terrible Protestant or Baptist or Presbyterian or something preacher will molest some little old children. It'll be all over the news and all over the papers. But Catholic priests do it every day, and they hide it, and you don't know nothing about it, and it's never in the newspapers. But we know it, and people sue that church, and they get millions of dollars out of them suing them, but you don't see it in the paper. You don't see it in the paper. Because they love that organization. See, humans think, and that's what I'm studying, humans think that's the ultimate Christian church. And it doesn't even resemble Bible Christianity. The Bible is not the center of their faith. It's not. It's their religious system. Amen? All right, let's go down to verse 20. Now look at verse 20. Now, we've seen that divine view where God's looking down at it and what he thinks about it. Nasty, ugly, filthy, vile, corrupt. And then we saw the human view where mankind looks at it and says, man, that's wonderful. It must be of God because it's rich and it's powerful and it's beautiful. And look at those ceremonies they do. They're so non-offensive and it's just so beautiful. Man, and so when God destroys it, mankind, those that were not taken in the rapture, of course, and those that didn't take the mark of the beast, they weep over it and they feel sorry that it was destroyed when he destroys it. Now I want you to see an angelic view of Babylon. Look at chapter 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. You see that? God bringing vengeance. The Catholic Church, like I said, has killed more Christians. Burned them at the stake. Burned them in oil. Done all kinds of things to them. And he's saying, up in heaven, he's telling the apostles, he's telling the saints in heaven, hey, y'all rejoice. God's doing the work on that thing. Of course, that's South Carolina translation, that thing. God's doing a work on that church. I've avenged you on her. Look at verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. You see what happened? The angels of heaven are rejoicing so much that an angel picked up a big millstone and he cast it into the sea. And he said, just like that, with violence, that great city, Babylon, is going to be overthrown. Now, that's what the angels in heaven think about that religious system. You see that? That's not God talking. That's not the Lord. That's angels talking there. And they described the destruction. This angel said, just like with violence, what you've done, now you're going to be, the violence is going to destroy you. And there's not going to be more harpers. There's no more musicians or pipers or trumpeters. Nobody that can do crafts, can't make your idols no more. All that's gone. And then verse 23, and the light of a candle shall no more shine at all in thee. I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic church, but they're big about the candles. Man, they're big about the candle, lighting the candle. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, that's us and Jesus. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. You see that? By thy witchcraft, drugs, enchantment, demon possession, by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now that's what the angels think about the Babylonian church, that great mystery Babylon, which I believe is the Catholic Church. And I believe the Muslims will unite with it. They're already talking. They're talking. And all these apostate religious denominations, they're going to go back. They're going to all reunite. It's happening right now. Every day they're talking to each other. And I think that most of the world, whenever we're gone, most of the world will say good riddance to those people. Bunch of fundamental Bible believers, troublemakers, Bible thumpers. That's what they call us, Bible thumpers. Amen. That's what they call us. Ignorant. You remember back during the campaign, somebody said that we was a bunch of gun-toting Bible thumpers. Y'all remember that? One of the Democrats said that. Said people that were voting Republican were a bunch of Bible thumpers, gun-toters. Yeah. Huh? Amen. Amen. And then it turned around and somebody said, well, that's what made America great anyway. Amen. And that's what's going to salvage it. But I want you to notice, in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And you know what that means? That church has killed more of God's people than any heathen organization on planet earth. Now, it's funny. It's coming up St. Patrick's Day. Y'all know St. Patrick? It's coming up. Now, St. Patrick, listen to this. The Catholic Church didn't even like Patrick. He went to Ireland on his own. The church didn't send him. He was in the Catholic Church because that's all they knew at that time. He didn't know nothing else. But he went to Ireland to try to win those people to Christ, and he won a lot of them to Christ. He won a lot of them to Christ. And the Catholic Church persecuted him because he didn't get them into the Catholic Church. They persecuted him. And then they wanted to kill him. The Pope sent word to bring him back to the Vatican. He was going to kill him. And he refused to go. Sound like Martin Luther, doesn't it? He refused to go. He wouldn't go back. And then finally, the church didn't kill him. And they let him go on. But since he wouldn't agree with them, they just started saying that he was one of theirs. And then after he died, the people of Ireland loved him so much. Now, he was a Bible believer. He was preaching, you must be born again. He was baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by immersion. And after years after he died, and the Catholic Church would do this, years after a person dies that they didn't like, but they did a great work, and they might have been connected to their church at one time, they will name them a saint. So, two or three generations after he died, the Irish people never forgot him. They always celebrated him, as they do today, the Protestants. And so, the Catholic Church named him a saint. They gave him sainthood. And I always tell those people who talk about that, I say, well, they couldn't give it to him. He already had it. Because when you get born again, you become a saint. And you don't need a pope or a Vatican council to vote on whether or not you're a saint. You already got three that voted for you. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. They've already voted you in. See, you don't need a council. You don't need the Vatican. All you need is one vote. God, if you got his vote, you outnumber everybody else's. But they'll do that. They'll persecute somebody, or they'll even kill somebody, and then if it looks like the people followed their teaching so much that they wouldn't forget them and they wouldn't let them go, then they'll turn right around and they'll name them a saint so that they can say the Catholic Church did all those good works. That's what they'll do. Now, I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day because on my mama's side, I don't know my dad's side, but on my mama's side, she's Scotch-Irish. And what that was Scotland's up here and Ireland's down here and England's over here. And the King of England owned all of it. But he couldn't get along with the Irish very well, and he wanted to grow crops, and they wouldn't work in the fields. They lived in caves and huts and hunted. So they sent word to Scotland, and there was a famine in Scotland, and said anybody that will go across into Ireland, Northern Ireland, and settle, I'll give you 100 acres, and you can grow all you want to grow, and I'm just going to tax you on it, and you'll be citizens of Great Britain. And they did, and that's why they fought back and forth, Northern Ireland, rest of Ireland, all those years. Those are really Scottish people that live in Northern Ireland. But they were born in Ireland, but they're descendants of Scottish people, and they have Scottish traditions and all that. But the Catholic Church inspired the rest of Ireland to drive out those Scottish people. You know why? They were Presbyterian. And that's what they've been fighting over all these years. They'll say Protestant, but they were old-fashioned Bible Presbyterians. And the Pope inspired the rest of Ireland, Irish people, to drive out those people in Northern Ireland, and they never got to do it. It hadn't been done yet. You see what? That church is so corrupt. Now, next week, we're going to get to something, and I've got a sermon, and I might preach on it. But next week, we're going to go into heaven, and we're going to see the angel shout hallelujah four times. And I'm going to show you why they shouted hallelujah four times. Four different things they shouted. Go home and read it when you come back next week. Let me know, okay? Well, I'm glad he opened my eyes. I don't belong to any kind of harlot church, amen? I don't belong to a religious system. I am of the fraternity of the free, amen? I can go anywhere I want to. I can worship anywhere I want to. I'm Baptist by conviction. You can't be born a Baptist. You have to choose to be a Baptist. I'm Baptist by conviction because I just can't find a closer to the New Testament. Not a church any closer. But I'm also against the Catholic Church by conviction. And I wouldn't have nothing to do with it because I really believe that's the one that Antichrist is set up. That one world church is set. It's already set up. All he's got to do is sit on the throne and name himself the head, and he's in charge of all those churches all over the world already set up that have already died and gone into apostasy, and they're sitting there waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. And it's not some little poor little pitiful guy 90 years old riding around a Pope mobile, peace, giving the peace sign and holding babies. They're looking for a real leader, and he's coming, and he's going to be the Antichrist, and they're going to follow him 100%. because the religion they're practicing has been inspired by him anyway. It's coming. But the good news is, I'm not going to be here. And it's not that it's that far away. It could be today. Trumpet might sound today. And everything's set up. Think about it. One world currency. We got one world language. Y'all know what one world language is? English. School kids all over the world learn English. You know why? You can't do business anywhere in the world without knowing the English language. It's the business language. So all these kids learn English so they can do business. So we've got one world language. We've got one world currency, which is a computer and a card anywhere you go. You don't need bills anymore. All over the world, they just take that little card and swipe it. You don't need a face on it. You don't need Andrew Jackson no more. And it's set up. And the world every day hates Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Every day hates us worse and worse. Now, we're the bad guys. He's coming. I hope you're ready.